Yes, my name is Scott Folkowski, as JR mentioned, and it is an honor and a privilege to continue this series, Life on Purpose, with you. It has been amazing so far. This is chapter 4, but this is our 5th week because we did an introduction into this topic. Jason, JR, and Tyler have brought us ideas on how we can and how we should live a life on purpose. Our purpose is to glorify God in all that we do. And so how do we come under that glorifying God umbrella, if you will? There are different ways we can live our life. And I would say that today, which is dealing with your peace, is the most difficult for me. So I really appreciate how the Holy Spirit, through JR, chose me to do this one. Yes, stinking thinking or remembering to put Christ as sovereign Lord. Those types of things can be difficult in daily life. Relationships, obviously, with different confrontations and conflicts and just dealing with people, those can all be difficult things. But for me, in the daily grind especially, peace and living a life on purpose and understanding how to obtain peace are struggles with me. So I appreciate the opportunity to work through this. I've actually been working through it for a few weeks, and hopefully something stuck within me. We'll find out. I'm sure my wife can tell, hey, you're much more peaceful, but it is a learning process. I'm going to present some things here today that are ideas, and I would assume that most of them are reminders to you from Scripture, reminders from wise people that have talked about how to obtain peace. And so I hope within those reminders, something might spark within you, oh, I never thought of it that way, or I can do that, and that we can all be on this journey together to understand a life on purpose, specifically with regards to peace. Well, that was weird. That wasn't me, was it? The cursor. Okay. Thanks, Nick. I appreciate that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for who you are, for your love for us, unconditional love, the love that would even experience the death on a cross of your son and his suffering here. But we are so thankful for his resurrection. And because of that resurrection, because of that victory, because of the hope that we have in the future and now, peace in all circumstances is possible. May we be reminded of that today, and may we take a little bit of that with us throughout our weeks ahead, as we look towards Christmas and that incredible gift, the Prince of Peace, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So Barna Research, if you're not familiar with them, has been a group of researchers. George Barna started it mostly looking at church and culture surveys. And so a recent survey from 2023 asked Christians, what are you looking for spiritually? Number one answer was peace. Lasting peace. Peace within them. So I have to ask you, do you believe that peace is possible on earth in your life? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Okay. How many of you are experiencing peace right now? Raise your hand. I got a wishy-washy over here. Right? How many of you during the week had experiences where you had the opposite of peace? But yet, you are not alone, as 40% of Christians desire peace. 35% desire hope, and I believe there's a link there. So really, if you put the stats together, we're talking 75% of people want hope and peace, which are interrelated. Healing and forgiveness, for sure. Physically, mentally, emotionally, healing. 30% want the truth. We serve the one who is the truth, which should cause us peace. And so you can see these are all interrelated. And then really interesting, 29% want to know what their purpose is. So here in this discussion of life on purpose, we're going to interact with that. Now, another question from Barna was, what are the spiritually curious doing to obtain peace. I'm sure you could think of some ideas of your own. Beyond religion, many Americans are exploring various spiritual experiences like horoscopes, practicing meditation and positive energy, engaging in yoga and journaling, and spending time in nature. Those last three are not bad things. Understand that. But if that is the only way that you're trying to experience peace by going into these to try to find who you are and looking inward, that's not going to work. The only way that you can experience peace is to look outward towards God, and then as we as believers then have God living within us. Peace is obtainable. It is interesting, as I was preparing for this sermon series, I was sitting in one of the many doctor's offices that I unfortunately have to encounter recently, and this song came on. I hope I do not offend anyone by saying some negative things about artist Chris Jansen. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but he has a song that says, "I can't fix that, but I can fix you a drink." Here's the lyrics. I turn on Fox News and then CNN, but it's the same thing all over again. The world's in the toilet, the market's in the tank. Well, I can't fix that, but I can fix you a drink. Having been someone who has experienced that in my life for a couple of years, where I attempted to fix that with drink or exercise or sports activities or competition, they are fun, they are enjoyable at times, but they do not last. Don't seek to fix yourself a drink. Seek to fix your eyes upon God. So within Hebrew, within the Old Testament, there is this word shalom. Shalom is this incredible word that is often translated as peace, simply peace. 234 different times in the Old Testament, but this word shalom means so much more. It means completeness, wholeness, tranquility. Anyone interested in that? Definitely so. The opposite of that is what a famous scholar, and I'll just call him one of these great minds of scripture, Henry Nouwen said. Sometimes our life is like a bunch of monkeys jumping around in a banana tree. That is not tranquility, that is not completeness, that is not hope, but that is unfortunately what life can be want. Do you want that shalom in your life? Do you want that inner peace that lasts forever in your life? I'd like to do just a little kind of thing to bless your neighbor. I don't want to make this weird or anything, but I would love to have you turn to your neighbor, right, left, maybe behind you, and say, "May you have peace this week." Go for it. Sometimes it just feels good to be reminded of that, to be reminded of somebody in your corner that wishes you to have peace. It feels good like that. Paul starts the majority of his letters with, "May grace and peace be upon you." Understand that the peace of the Lord is always with you, and that true peace only comes from God. So I want to look at scripture. So obviously we're working through the book of Colossians. There's going to be multiple passages within Colossians that we're going to look at where Paul speaks of peace. Just as a reminder, this is a church that was started in Colossae. And Paul has never visited there, but he's heard about them and he wants to encourage them. And Paul writes multiple letters to these churches. They're supposed to be read by them and then passed along. And so while all these letters are specific for a group of people, that what is said within them can definitely resonate with us even in 2025. So the first passage is, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him," Jesus, "and through Jesus to reconcile to God, to himself, all things." God is about reconciliation, and I think one of the main things that makes it difficult for us to experience peace is a lack of reconciliation. a lack of bringing together, a lack of working through things with God, with others, and even within ourselves. And so God's mission, as Paul reminds people often, is to reconcile all of creation to himself. Whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood, through the blood of Jesus shed on the cross. There's a lot here. As we look through Colossians, we could probably spend an entire hour on some of the deep thoughts that Paul is expressing here. What does it mean that God actually dwells within this human being and then that Jesus actually dwells within us? I can't figure it out. It's a mystery to me, but I sure am glad about it. So Jesus dwells in us and the Holy Spirit works in us, and we'll get more on the Holy Spirit because Paul actually calls the Holy Spirit peace. We'll get there in a second. So God was very pleased that his son would fulfill all that God required so that we can be reconciled to him. And unfortunately, peace at times can only come through sacrifice. Not overpowering, not through a military like we'll talk about with Rome, but through a sacrifice. And thankfully for us, Jesus Christ made peace between God and us by his sacrifice on the cross. And understand, it's not just us in this room. It's not just all of humanity, but it is all of the earth. Scripture talks about how the earth is groaning for God to fix things, that the earth has been messed up. And here, earth or world also means God is reconciling at that time Gentiles and Jews, in other words, all people as well, bringing them together because there are enemies, there are wars, there are things going on that we would love to have peace infiltrate. At any given time, there's 30 to 35 wars going on in our world. Is that insane? We hear of the big ones, but you often hear of the smaller ones occasionally. There is not a lot of peace happening on earth, but there is a lot of peace in the church because we can have that peace. So God is making peace. And so I did mention Rome. It was not peaceful on the outside for a Christian or a Jewish person to live under Roman authority. I'm assuming that most of you understand that. That Rome persecuted followers of Jesus Christ. They thought these people were crazy. They thought they were cannibals. They talked about eating and drinking the blood of this guy that was some historical figure. They thought Christians were the enemy because they were introducing only one God and saying the rest of the gods did not count, including the emperor. It was not peaceful being under their thumb. Pax Romana, the peace of Rome, means peace through power, intimidation, and death at times. But yet Paul says you can have peace even in circumstances like that. As Paul writes most of his letters, he is in prison. But he says, I have peace and I am sharing that grace and peace with you. I was a Reagan Republican, and I still remember a few of his quotes back in the Cold War times. They counted on America to be passive. They counted wrong. If you're a Def Leppard fan, you've probably heard that one too. Or the best defense is a strong offense. And so that is the powers that our worldly leaders display. But our God is different. He sent his son to be a servant leader. And he is the ultimate king. Thus, he is the ultimate example. And Paul continues in Colossians 3 now, 15 through 17. You'll see a lot of the same words are going to keep coming up in Colossians. The peace, thankfulness, singing. And thankfully for you, I'm not going to sing. So But let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. So the first scripture from Colossians was for us, for each of us as individuals, that we can have peace and we should try to obtain that. But here we are talking more of a community of believers, more of the church, that within this body, we should do all that we can, and it's usually by giving thanks to keep the peace, to get along with each other. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. I have to say that for me, this morning's songs were an incredible blessing, all throwback jokes aside. The worship team made my heart feel thankful and at peace, and I had so much gratitude towards God. I turned to Annette after the first two songs, and I said, oh my gosh, two of my favorite songs. Thank you, God. And so there is something about sharing the psalms, the hymns, and the songs from the Spirit that reminds us to be thankful to the one who is greater than us, yet who would come down and be among us. And so thankfulness leads to peace. So I want to continue on that thread as we work through these texts. Now, an interesting thing that a scholar mentioned, as opposed to the Pax Romana, is the Pax Christiana, if you will. The peace of Christ within the church. And so we need to examine what that peace looks like as we act it out in our daily life and what it looks like as we act it out together. There's a quote from Scott McKnight that I thought really hammered this home for each of us. In making decisions, in choosing between alternatives, in settling conflicts of will, a concern to preserve the inward and communal peace that Christ gave and gives should be your controlling principle. What is your filter as you go through experiences? Or do you even have a filter, or do you just use that reptilian brain that Tyler referred to, that whole mechanism, and just go and do it? We as believers need to have a filter between what we see and experience and what comes out of us or our actions. Understand that the message of Christ are the very words of God. And so we're having a time of prophecy over people after church today. And the Old Testament prophets acted as the very words of God out to the people. Jesus Christ on earth was not just a man, not just a human. He was all of God who spoke and acted as God would have acted if he was physically here on earth. And the end of this is, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Everything. Does that mean everything? Whatever, everything? So it's interesting, in the original language, everything is in there twice. Everything you do, yes, everything, whether in word or deed, should be done in the name of the Lord Jesus. If you were to look back, and thankfully there's no recording of our life, and I don't believe this is what happens when we get to heaven. Jesus is not going to sit us in a room and we're going to spend hours and look at recordings. But if you were to look back at the recording from the last week as you interacted with other humans on the road, at work, in your home, did you do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? And if it's everything, that just doesn't mean leading us in singing, preaching the word, praying. It can mean cleaning the toilets. Do you believe that? Everything, everything. Brother Lawrence, this wonderful monk and follower of Jesus Christ, in his book, Practicing the Presence of God, he said, I want to be Lord of all the pots and pans and things. Make me a saint by getting meals and washing up the plates. If you don't have a dishwasher, what do you think about that? Can that be a holy moment? Can every moment in your life be holy? Yes, sacred. He viewed his time in the kitchen as a sacred duty, stating that the time of business does not with me differ from the time of prayer. We can do little things for God, he wrote. I turn the cake that is frying on the pan for the love of God. It is enough for me to pick up but a piece of trash from the ground for the love of God. Maybe practice that. As you walk out in our parking lot or walk through town or go off to lunch and you see a piece of trash on the ground, say, don't say, for the love of God. I just thought about that. So let's go for God's love, which is right down the street. Boy, I keep, yes. You know what I'm trying to say. So the main point that this life on purpose is trying to make, the peace of Christ rules when it is placed above our emotions and desires. Understands there is no monarch, ruler, nation, or earthly president who can bring lasting peace to you, let alone the entire world. Are there glimpses of peace? Amen. Are people working for peace? Amen. But there is no everlasting peace unless it is under the rule of the one true King and his Father God. The Psalms remind us, David said, some trust in chariots and others in horses, but we depend on the Lord our God. So how does peace rule in our lives? We first come under the authority and rule of Jesus. So if you had a throne in front of you and you looked at your life, sorry, I'm doing a lot of examination here, but the person who's on that throne the most of your life? You don't need to answer. I know at times it's me. I know at times it's empty because I'm not thinking of any ruler. And then I hope there are times, and hopefully a majority, where it's actually Jesus and his Father on the throne. Is it difficult to come under authority of someone else? It is. J.R. mentioned our problems with selfishness in our relationships. It is difficult to be under authority. It is difficult to submit to others. But I have to constantly remind myself is, why do I want to run my life when the person who created the entire universe is still active and wants to help me run it? Come on. The Holy Spirit is within us and can help us find peace, but we can really only find that peace with step one, submitting to authority. Next week, who's preaching next week? Okay, it's me. Because next week is the big submission passage, so this is like a total handoff to them. JR, so families and submission, but I get to talk about submitting to God, which is a lot easier topic. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, who I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Have you ever like really studied this passage? I really hadn't. Colossians isn't one of the books I normally study. Peace I leave, so that's the Holy Spirit. Jesus says this is part of this large, they call it the Olivet or the Upper Room Discourse, where Jesus knows he's only got a few hours to live, and so he wants to impart the most important things he can think of to his followers and to us. And so he says there is someone coming, the counselor, the Holy Spirit, that will be able to help you because he will be with each of you, and this is a great thing. And so he is leaving that ability to have peace through the Holy Spirit with us. And it says, my peace I give you. This is a gift. This is a gift. You don't have to work for it. You just simply have to accept that rule, that authority in your lives that will bring you peace. Put yourself aside. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid, because the Holy Spirit will be with you. And then we see 41 days after this, the Holy Spirit does come. And understand, this whole reconciliation thing of trying to make things better and how they should be. We have the fall of man in Acts 3. We have the tower, or sorry, Genesis 3. We have the Tower of Babel, where people are trying to make a name for themselves and become like God. And God separates them into different languages. And then in Acts 2, the Holy Spirit comes upon Jesus' disciples. And they go out and they preach, and people hear them speaking in one language, but in their language. God's reconciliation story definitely occurs with the resurrection. We see it again in Acts 2, and then we're going to see it again in Revelation. God is reconciling, so do not be troubled or afraid, because God is with you. And then in Matthew, continuing with the Gospels, this one is so deep, to try to find rest for your souls. Any of you feeling weary or burdened right now? Troubles that just seem to mount, physical, emotional, relational. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Do you just feel that when you think of rest? How many of you, the most important thing you're desiring after we're done here today is a good meal and rest? That is such a blessing that God gives us rest. It is such an important thing that God himself did it on the seventh day of creation. He rested. But Jesus goes on, and understand that Matthew is written to mostly Jews, okay? So a lot of what he is trying to get across will really resonate with them. Take my yoke upon you. So in the Old Testament, the yoke was often referred to as oppression. There is a yoke of oppression on you, whether it's from the Philistines or the Egyptians or somebody else. They often felt that pressure, that heaviness that was just weighing them down. Take my yoke upon you. So obviously his yoke is a little different, and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Rest for your souls. Submission to God, submission to Jesus as the ultimate authority. Let him rule in your lives. Because what Jesus is saying, so his followers and the people who are listening to his sermons, and the chosen did such a good job of this, he is pointing out that there is this yoke on the shoulders of the Jewish people that they cannot continue to hold and lift. The Pharisees, the religious leaders, are putting too much on them. The Pharisees and the scribes would spend all of their time trying to find out how not to disobey the Sabbath. You can only walk this far. You can only carry this many pounds. I think it was the weight of a quarter. Etc., etc., etc. Not enjoying rest, not enjoying Sabbath that was designed for us, but trying to put a yoke upon people that they can't carry. And so Jesus says, my teaching is gentle, it's humble, and it's something that will help you. His yoke is lighter. That doesn't mean the yoke is gone. We still are here living on earth. But with his help and with the Holy Spirit, it is a yoke that we can all bear. And then when we put it aside, we can have rest. That yoke that the Pharisees and the scribes, and I'll say man, tends to put on other people as expectations, you can never take it off. It's always there. I'm sure you've seen pictures of the man who's carrying the backpack, and they just keep throwing things into that backpack. Oh, you've got a heart issue now. You've got this issue. And he can't put it down. He just keeps adding on to it. And at the end of it, there is no rest or peace for his soul. Secondly, we need to prioritize being thankful. Thankfully, this is November. Hopefully, this will be easy for all of us. But how many of you are great at this? Raise your hand. Mine just went really down. Recently, Annette and I and our son were at a monastery out in California. We love going to these places, and there's just a sense of peace for our souls there. And we met Sister Angelina. Sister Angelina was about that tall. It was 100 degrees, and she had like 4 layers on, and she was at peace. And I'm like, man, I couldn't do that. I mean, Reading, yeah, it gets pretty hot. You know, she started sharing her testimony with us as she was giving us a tour of the monastery. And she said, you know, I went to Mother Superior and I said, I am just not doing a good job of being thankful. And she said, well, I got a real simple thing for you. I want you to go get one of those clickers like they use for a show where it clicks. Okay, one person came in, two person came in. And I want you to attach it to your tool belt. And literally, she had the Batman tour belt because she had all kinds of different like reminders and habits. Are habits important? Yes, they are. Okay, yes, the Holy Spirit's important, but sometimes those habits help us get that connection. And so every time she gave thanks to God, in her mind, she went, thank God for that. She clicked it. She said, I finally worked my way up to 3 or 4 times. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Only 3 or 4 times? And then she said, now I'm more 10 to 20. Because think about it. How often do we go to God and say, how come you couldn't save me from that? I bet God would go, well, what about the other 99 times today where I did? And so that was the purpose for her to remind herself by prioritizing to be thankful, because being thankful leads to peace. Also, we take practical steps to live in peace. Once again, those habits, their habits are fine, habits are good. But understand, what are the biggest barriers to true peace? What is the biggest barrier to true peace? Is it others? Or is it me? No, I don't want all 300 of you to say it's me. I mean, you. Outside forces, anxiety, fear, control, lack of submission. I mean, that's my biggest thing. I've mentioned this in sermons before, just trying to control. But Philippians reminds us, Paul writing to another wonderful church in Philippi, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. In every situation. Once again, there's that every. In prison, where Paul's in prison, being beaten, being shipwrecked, being beaten so much he almost died, being bit by a snake that could have killed anybody else. In all situations, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How many of you can say that every single one of your prayer requests to God have been answered in exactly the way you thought? That's the point. Were they answered? Yes. Sometimes answer is no or wait. But understanding that when we bring things to God, He has the best in mind for us, and that we can rest in that peace that He is with us, that His wisdom is more powerful than ours, and that He has us. Proverbs 4:23 says, guard your heart with all vigilance, for from it are the sources of life. Guard your heart. God is with you. Thanksgiving is an important heart motion and movement. Gordon Fee says, as they submit their situation to God in prayer with thanksgiving, what they may expect from God is that His peace will guard their hearts and minds as they remain in Christ Jesus. So as we head into, was it the 26th of November, what are you thankful for? And what positive things can you do to help yourself continue to be better at giving thanks and to live in peace? So what can I do today? Reframe your perspective to line up with God's word. So obviously, we have a heart to be in the word and study God's word. Hardships are a given in this life. Jesus said that in that same, as I said, upper room discourse. Jesus says, protect them, protect us as those hardships come. It is a fact of life. Paul in Philippians, again, Philippians 14, a verse that I'm sure most of you are familiar with, as football players say they can do all things. It's not what it means. Because Paul says, I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances, being beat, in prison, or rejoicing with other people. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. I mean, I'm sure as you follow Paul's thinking, you think of Romans 5 and like the best verse ever written. Suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. Suffering, difficulty are a part of life. God knows that. God admits that. Jesus mentions it in Scripture. It is something, but even through that, reframing the understanding that if God is with us, we are victorious and we can have peace. Step 2, regulate negative emotions. Regulate, a governor, throttle down. Just have more consistency, have calmness. And dare I say, one of the things that works for me, deep breaths. As before you enter a situation, regulate that heart, regulate the mind, as Tyler talked about. Take a breath before you send that email or sleep on that email, but try to regulate your negative emotions. Change your environment. I may have alluded to this in a sermon in the past. 2 years ago, I had to change my environment, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and mentally. It was a Sunday morning in October. I was supposed to preach. I woke up much earlier than I had hoped. As the young adults know, and they always joke with me, I am not a morning person. And so about 5:55, I had to tap Annette and said, we're going to the ER. I did not feel right. I was totally out of control, and something was wrong. Got up, took a couple Tylenol to try to calm down. Didn't calm down. Took my blood pressure. I was 220 over 120. Headed to the ER. Third trip to the ER in about a year for similar experiences. The thing that bugged me was I could not control it. Medication couldn't bring it down. Breathing couldn't bring it down. Prayer couldn't bring it down. It was so consuming and so impacting and affecting me. I knew something was going on. Was I going to have a heart attack? Was I going to have a stroke? What was going to happen? Get there. ER doctor does tests. My blood pressure's down to like 180 over 100, which is still not good. And he simply says to Annette and I, you need to change your environment. You need to get out of the situation that is causing this. Because as I said, there had been 3 different times that I had showed up. And so sometimes we have to make a decision to remove ourselves from a physical environment that is negative, that is damaging to us. But then there are times, and this is probably most of life, where we are called to stay in the environment and be the light of God. And we can do that because we know we have peace. There's a very famous section of Jeremiah where God's people have been taken into captivity. They've been removed from their homes, removed from the temple, removed from their place of worship, and they are just down. And they are just sitting in this environment wondering what we're supposed to do. And God says, I need you to change your spiritual, emotional, and mental environment, because your physical environment is going to be like this for about 80 years. So he tells them, settle down, get married, plant things, build things, have sons and daughters, because you have a purpose in this horrific situation to pray to the Lord for prosperity and peace so that it will prosper everyone. Work to see that the city where I sent you as exiles enjoys peace and prosperity. Even if you are in inner turmoil, even if you are struggling, if it is not damaging you physically, understand that, bring peace. And lastly, we're missing a slide, so that's okay. Continually sing and worship. As I said, this was so beautiful this morning, the singing that we did, the worshiping that we did. Understand that God believes worship is not just the singing, it's everything we've done today, and worship really is 24/7 in your life. We are singing about the one who is greater than us. We should not be singing words that lead us on negative paths, are benign, don't make sense, or actually have wrong theology, because we are singing to come in the throne room of God and admit that he is greater than we are. And that allows us to experience peace, because the one who showed the greatest love to humanity loves us. Reframe our hearts to have an honest perspective of who God is and who we are. As Paul says, without God, I'm but filthy rags. So, peace as fully defined is peace with God, peace with yourself, and peace with others. Would you stand? I want to read a blessing of thanksgiving over you. Psalm 100 says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates, enter your life, enter every situation with thanksgiving. And enter every situation, the courts, wherever you are, with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. May you be filled with peace."